The Vern's Post Game Show.
Went to his left, picks it up, spins, jumps, throws to first. In time, he got him. Wow.
Here's Royals insider Josh Vernier.
All right, good evening. The business trip continues. And the boys remain perfect. 5-0 on this road trip. Taking on the bottom feeders in the American League Central in the Chicago White Sox and the Detroit Tigers. Royals are 5-0 on the business trip and treating it even more business-like than I had hoped. Now, don't get me wrong, they're having fun. If you were watching this game tonight on the Apple TV feed, you saw Salvador Perez mic'd up having the time of his life. And why wouldn't he be? 34 years of age. Think about where Salvi was in his career the last time the Royals find themselves in a position like this. 13 games above 500 in the month of August. You have to go back 9 years ago. A 25-year-old Salvador Perez. Man, if you're older than 34... Remember how much your life changed from the age 25 to 34. Now, Salvi's become an American citizen. He's had two, maybe three kids. He's gotten married. He's brought his family to the United States. Why wouldn't he have the time of his life as his team falls behind in the first inning to Tarek Skubal and the Detroit Tigers in Detroit? Now, I understand I just mentioned that this Tigers ball club is a bottom feeder in the division. Well, when Tarek Skubal climbs the hill, they become formidable. Tarek Skubal tonight strikes out 8 Royals across 6 1/3 innings. But he serves up 5 runs. Salvi jumps him in the second inning. Salvi gets him again in the fourth inning. Phone lines are open for you. You can go wherever you want with this one tonight. I have a lot to say about this game, but I want to get you involved. So again, the phone number, 913-586-7610. I want to get to you quickly, so fill those phone lines up. 913-586-7610. That's the same number for our text line. If you just can't find the words, let AI formulate those words for you. Shoot me a text. 913-586-7610. So the Royals are 5-0 and outscoring their opponents on this business trip by nearly 5 runs a game. It's good vibes only on this post-game show. What I'm curious to hear from you is, have they shown you anything in this business trip? I came into this 7-game road trip saying, give me a 5-2 run. Give me 5 wins and I'll be pleased. Well, here we are and I'm pleased, my friends. Now this team goes into the weekend against a Detroit Tigers ball club that no longer will throw Tarek Skubal to the hill. I don't have to worry about Reese Olson or Casey Mize or Jack Flaherty because they're all hurt or have been traded. I'm playing with house money going into the weekend. I'm just going to have a good time this weekend. Hope that the boys can pick up 2 more wins and put together one of the best road trips this city has seen in years. So again, 913-586-7610. How much are you reading into it? What are you taking from this business trip? Because this game today, this 9-2 Royals victory, what this was is what this team has been basically all season. I talk about a standard that was set in the first few months of the Royals 2024 season, a standard of, when the Royals come to town, I know I'm going to see this, right? A.J. Hinch, the manager of the Detroit Tigers, when this series started, I believe he felt fairly certain that the Royals were going to do a few things. Their starting pitcher was going to give them a good chance to win. Their defense was going to be near airtight. Their base running would be calculated but aggressive. And Bobby Witt Jr. would be the best player on the field. Those, to me, are the constants on this team, and they were all on display tonight. Beginning on the mound with Cole Reagans. Now, not a quality start, and yes, the Royals are still getting a quality start in half their games this season. But that's not the expectation. You don't expect a quality start every single night, no. But what I know I expect on almost a nightly basis is a chance to win. Composure from my leader on the hill. And that's exactly what this team received tonight from Cole Reagans. Again, Royals fall behind 2-0 in the first inning. A leadoff walk. And then a fastball middle in to Justin Henry Molloy. And just like that, it's Detroit 2, Kansas City 0 with Tarik Skubal on the hill. But Cole Reagans is undaunted. After giving up that home run in the first inning, he wouldn't give up another hit until the sixth inning. So your starter did what your starters have done all season. The base running of Salvador Perez scoring from first on a double off of the bat of Hunter Renfro. Bobby Witt Jr., Vinny Pasquantino pulling off the double steal in that six-run seventh inning. Bobby and Vinny pull off that double steal, and you know Shelby Miller standing on that hill feeling as if he can't breathe. Like the walls are closing in on him. And the game was speeding up, and the game got out of hand as the Royals put together 9 straight base hits, matching a franchise record, 9 straight hits, 6 runs, and a 3-2 Royals lead turns into a laugher. 9-2 Royals walk away victorious. Pitching, defense, base running, and Bobby Witt Jr. is just always doing something special. Tonight, it's on the base paths, and it's defensively, starting a pair of gorgeous inning-ending double plays. Let's go to the phone calls. 913-586-7610. That's 913-586-7610. We're going to start off in Central Illinois. Nate, you're hitting leadoff tonight on 610 Sports Radio. Nate, how are you?
Good. How are you?
Doing great, buddy.
Good. I went to the game a couple days ago, called in, and I found my car, so I'm home.
Well, that's good to hear. What do you think of this one tonight?
It's continued business, just like you said. So what I wanted to pick up on, what I saw when I was there in person, was it was a new kind of swagger, new confidence. I mean, not new, but new in the sense of it's firm. They know who they are now, especially trade deadline's over. They know who they have. They're new pieces. Everything's kind of in place. I mean, we still got some bullpen roles to figure out. But as a whole, as a team, I feel like they know their identity. The Royals, yeah. They know their identity. They know who they are. You got Bobby Witt, MVP, Salvi, captain. I mean, right, it starts from there, and it just goes. I mean, you just keep going. Fill in all the roles. I mean, when I watched the game tonight on Apple TV, the commentators were talking about that. They have everything. Speed, I mean, it's balanced. And they have that starting rotation. I mean,
Nate, thanks for the phone call. Nate, not only do they have that balance, you know, throughout the rotation, bullpen, bench, lineup, you know, credit to the coaching staff for keeping everyone involved and excited about their roles. I think that is the best thing that you can say about Matt Cutrero and what he's done this season. But, Nate, I agree with you. Yeah, it doesn't. You don't want to say it's a new swagger because this was a confident team in May and June. But it does certainly feel as if the wind is at their back right now. In that, they step into almost any situation and feel as if we've been here before. Even though a majority of them haven't. Right? You know, Bobby and Vinny, Ersig, MacArthur, Reagans, Singer. I can go on and on. Hampson, excuse me. Fermin, MJ, Mike Cowell. These guys haven't played in meaningful games in the month of August before, but with the leadership of Salvi and Renfro, with guys that have been there before, coupled with the experiences that we talked about so much throughout that gauntlet. Remember that gauntlet just over a month and a half ago, facing all those first place teams? Had a great comeback win against the Seattle Mariners, a few other heart-stopping victories in there. Those moments where the boys appeared down and out and were able to rise from the ashes, those are the type of moments that allow you to have a different type of swag after the All-Star break, because you've also gotten a push from behind, from ownership, from the front office. You know, the things that you were worried about in your quiet moments, if you're Bobby or Salvi or Vinny, you would never verbalize it, but you know that 4-3 lead in the seventh inning, that's no guarantee with the inexperience, shaky relievers this team had. But after that trade deadline, with the addition of Harvey, Lorenzen, and who we saw tonight, Lucas Ersig, comes in a big spot, didn't he? Two on, two out, sixth inning, Royals clinging to a one-run lead. Ersig gets Wenzel Perez to fly out to end the threat. But you bring in those guys, and now, yeah, you know what? I am going to stick that chest out a little bit more. Because now that 4-3 lead in the seventh inning, I feel as if those two right-handed monsters in Harvey and Ersig, they'll secure the victory. So, Nate, I'm with you. I'm with that observation. Yeah, I do think it is a much more confident team. And wait until they get through the riptide that's coming up, that 20-game stretch against playoff teams that begins in 3 weeks from now. After that 20-game stretch, I feel as if this ball club's going to come out with a taste for blood. There'll be 2 weeks left in the regular season. They'll have all their difficult opponents in the rearview mirror and the playoffs on the horizon. Nate, thank you very much for the phone call. Let's go to Tyler in Kansas City. Tyler, you're next up on 610 Sports Radio. Go ahead, buddy.
Hey, Vern. Yeah, just to piggyback off that first caller. Yeah, that swagger. I'd call it this new attitude that we got after the All-Star break. Yeah. I loved how Salvi was scored from first base. I love how he ran for the double. I 100% believe that if that right fielder didn't catch that ball, Salvi would be running for third. And I'd be mad if he didn't try.
You know he would.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And you can just tell they are having fun out there. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I still, you know, just like what you said about the gauntlet coming up with the playoff teams, don't know how the division's going to shake out, but at least we're not making it easy for Cleveland just to run away with the division. So I'll let you take it from there, Vern. Have a good night. Thank you.
Yeah, you do the same. Nice to hear from you. Yeah, listen, they're not making it easy on Cleveland, but man, Cleveland isn't making it easy on the Royals either. Again, the Royals are a good team at worst. I would have no issue if you said they're a very good team. I'm a stickler for words at times. But Cleveland, man. They're up right now 8-4 at home against Baltimore. Cleveland took 2 of 3 from Philly. They're about to take at least 2 of 3 from Baltimore. That's one heck of a ball club. And yet, Royals have the better run differential. We talked about this last night. Following tonight's 9-2 victory, the Royals' run differential balloons to plus 95. Third best in baseball. A plus 95 run differential would go down as one of the five best marks in franchise history. My game notes after this, the 62nd win of the season, my game notes are brought to you by Jay's Southland Tow. Be in the know and call Jay's Southland Tow. Let's go to Travis in Overland Park. Travis, nice to hear from you. How are you? Travis, what's going on, buddy? I think we lost Travis. That's all right. Royals don't lose very often when they put up 9 runs. I'll tell you that. You know that. But it's not one of those things like I talked about earlier today on the On Deck Show. I don't look at that plus 95 run differential and say, well, of course, when you have an offense that is this prolific, of course you're going to have that eye-popping of a run differential. Now, there are certain aspects of this offense that are very much prolific. Most notably, the ability to drive in runs from your big three. Bobby, Vinny, and Salvi. Tonight, they score 5 runs. They drive in 4. Salvi picks up a pair of RBI. He now has 20 RBIs in his last 19 games. Salvi passes Frank White for the 4th most RBIs in franchise history. He's got a ways to go before he gets up to number 3 in Amos Otis. He's more than 100 back of the great AO. Let's go to Jeff in Blue Springs. Jeff, you're on 610 Sports Radio. Go ahead.
How you doing tonight, Vern?
Doing great, buddy. How are you?
I'm doing real good. I agree with everything you said. Everything is lining out. It just seems like everything's lining out pretty good here. And hopefully we've, cured a little of our reliever problems we were having. And not a lot of people have mentioned, and I know you know all the statistics, but I don't know if everybody else knows. Paul, birthday boy.
Yeah, Paul DeJong. Yeah, happy birthday. Yeah. Came through with his first RBI since coming over to the Royals.
But I don't know if everybody knows. He played, I know, a terrible team, but he played like 59 games at shortstop. And you put your, as we know, you put your best player at shortstop. And
well, you put your best defensive athlete at shortstop, certainly. Yeah, and if you want to say he's the best member of the Chicago White Sox, go for it. But I'm certain that he's not trying to claim that.
No, I'm not.
I mean, it's not true either, but, to go along with. Hey, I appreciate the phone call, man. Thank you very much. Nice to hear from you. Yeah, Paul DeJong making his second start since being acquired from the White Sox. He went 1-for-3 tonight with a sac fly and an RBI single. That RBI single came in the 6-run 7th inning. DeJong's single was the 9th consecutive base hit. It started with Dairon Blanco and an infield knock with one out. And then Michael Garcia went to the opposite field. Bobby had an infield single. Vinny a 2-run opposite field single. Salvi a RBI double to right center field. Freddie Fermin ripped one into left for an RBI knock. Garrett Hampson went to the opposite field, and then, there you go, Paul DeJong, RBI the opposite way. 6 runs come in to score, 9 straight hits, and the Royals earn at worst a split in Detroit. They take game 2, beating Tarek Skubal, becoming the first team all season to hand Tarek Skubal an L in the Motor City. Now, that's got to feel good. I know the boys are having a good time inside that Royals clubhouse. I want to hear from you. 913-586-7610. Royals have won 5 straight, 14 of the last 20. And we're back to your phone calls after this.
You're listening to Burns Post Game Show on your home for Royals baseball, 610 Sports Radio, and the Odyssey app. Welcome back to Burns Post Game Show on your home for Royals baseball in Kansas City, 610 Sports Radio, and the Odyssey app.
So swing of the first one, hit it well. Deep left center, that ball is long gone. Salvador Perez ambushes Tarek Skubal, and the Royals are on the board. They're down 2-1.
That was a great back and forth all night between the two All-Stars. Second inning, first pitch of the second inning after Skubal retired Garcia, Bobby, and Vinny in order on nine pitches in the first inning. Salvi not sitting around waiting. Skubal throws him a first pitch slider in the middle of the dish, and Salvi did not miss it. He destroyed that thing. 113 miles per hour off the bat. 448 feet to left center field. He matches Bobby Witt Jr. for the team lead with his 20th home run of the season. It's Salvi's eighth season with at least 20 home runs. Nobody in franchise history has more. Royals win 9-2. They're 13 games above 500. The Cleveland game just went final, so the deficit in the division remains six games. Let's head up to the Motor City. Damon was one of the 21,000 in attendance. Damon, what'd you think of that Royals victory?
I loved it. So I'm here at the game. I was wearing my 2000s Johnny Damon jersey. Fresh. And my big takeaway was Salvador Perez running those bases. I mean, it was just amazing. It feels like Salvi's rejuvenated. It's great because there were some questions about if he would be traded. And, you know, obviously he didn't go, and now he's just been fantastic. A clubhouse leader. And like I told you yesterday, Vern, I'm feeling even more confident about a deep run. I mean, Houston, bring it on. It could be a sweep. We could go in there, win two games, and be on to the next round.
Oh, you're talking about the wild card round right now.
Exactly.
Wow. I love it. Hey, I'm with it. Way to go. Appreciate the phone call, Damon. I'm like, Houston's not on the schedule. What's he talking about? It's Boston after this and then St. Louis. You don't face Houston. Oh, he's talking about the three-game wild card playoff that would be in Houston three consecutive days for the right to go on and face the Baltimore Orioles in the ALDS. Damon, I love it, buddy. I love it. Royals are on pace to win 90 games. Salvi running the bases. Again, I mentioned the back and forth between him and Tarek Skubal. First pitch slider in his first at-bat, he sends it to the moon. So the next time Salvi comes up, it again is to lead off an inning, lead off the fourth. And he takes, digs in, takes a look at Skubal, and he knows he's not going to throw him a slider. You can't throw Salvi a changeup, so hey, I'm going to sit fastball. Salvi was, and he ripped it. 109 miles per hour back up the gut for a leadoff knock. Salvi's 2-for-2 off of Tarek Skubal. Comes back up to the plate to lead off the sixth inning. Mikel, Bobby, and Vinny went 0 for their first six against Tarek Skubal. Anyway, Salvi comes to the plate in the sixth to lead off. Falls behind in the count 0-2, 1-2. It's sinker, slider, fastball, slider. He's seeing what he saw in his first two plate appearances, but Tarek Skubal then throws a disgusting changeup. Salvi swings through it, starts laughing, says, "You got me. Good pitch." Tarek Skubal kind of looks towards the heavens like he's saying, "Thank God I finally got you out." The two All-Stars had a real nice moment. And then Skubal left the game, and the Tigers had no more good moments. Skubal leaves the game. Six runs come in to score, and this game turns into a laugher. Salvi's hitting 409 on this road trip. Let's go to Ty in Lee's Summit. Ty, you're on 610 Sports Radio. Go ahead.
Hey, Vern. Another amazing win from the boys tonight. I just want to get your opinion on Freddie Fermin. He's been on an absolute tear recently. Ooh, and I just want to get your opinion on, do you think we should use him as an everyday starter? Or are you a little nervous about his overusing him? Because I saw yesterday, he actually has the second highest WAR on the team, right behind Bobby Witt Jr. and right above starting catcher Salvador Perez as a backup catcher. I just want to get your opinion on that. Thank you.
Yeah, shows you just how quality Freddie is behind the dish and how outstanding he's been offensively. Yeah, everything you said there is right. Freddie belongs in the lineup. So yes to your first question. And I was going to say yes, I'm also nervous about having him in there, but I'm not nervous about him being exposed. This is no longer a small sample size for Freddie Fermin. We can go back to the beginning of May. Right? I mean, more than 3 months of baseball. Almost half a season. Since the beginning of May, Freddie's hitting .335. I mean, that... A catcher, a DH. You know, he's not moonlighting at first base. He's behind the dish giving his pitcher everything. Emotionally, physically, spiritually, Salvi is there for... they both are. But Freddie is there for his pitcher. And he's hitting .335 over the past 3 months. Not only that, but an OPS of .865. I mean, that's... Rex Hudler's been saying it for a while. The Royals have the two best catchers in baseball. Now, I don't know if I'm going to get with that just because of my respect for Adley Rutschman. But certainly two of the top 10 catchers in baseball. I'm sorry, an .865 OPS from a catcher is all-star worthy. I'm not nervous about him being exposed. The only thing that I get nervous about is finding yourself in a jam when you have both of your catchers in the starting lineup. Now, Q's a really good manager. He's got a great bench, right? A great coaching staff. We haven't really seen them stuck. It hasn't bitten them yet, and to me, they are a quality enough coaching staff that if something were to pop up where you lose a Salvi or a Freddie and all of a sudden the pitcher is in the lineup, yeah, I trust this coaching staff to get through it. That's the only thing that makes me nervous, is having both of your catchers in the starting lineup just in case you know, worst case scenario and you run out of catchers. Again, that's very unlikely. So to answer your question, no. Put him in the lineup every single day for the Q's done a pretty good job, He's done a very good job of keeping everyone fresh, making sure everyone feels as if they're involved. I'll tell you this, Ty, how great of an issue is this, though? I mean, that, you know, you look at the lineup tonight, there's no MJ Melendez, there's no Kyle Isbell, there's no Michael Massey. I like all three of them. Okay, so I like Melendez, Massey, and Isbell. But it's not as if there are three guys in tonight's lineup that I don't like. You know what I mean? I mean, you have a team. You have 26 all tugging on the same end of the rope. 13 position players that know their role, are excited about their role, and attack the game. So, yeah, I want Freddie to stay in the lineup. I want Renfro and Salvi and Vinny and Michael and Bobby to stay in the lineup. You know, Paul DeJong, he's doing the job so far. Dairon Blanco, for a guy that plays once a week, boy, does he attack the game. Garrett Hampson was on base three times tonight and can play everywhere on the diamond. So, yes, I want Freddie in the lineup, but the way that the coaching staff has utilized these guys, they're finding the right spot. They're doing what we ask coaches and managers to do. Put your players in position to have success. He's certainly done that with Freddie Fermin. Freddie tonight, his third straight multi-hit game, and he sets a new career best with a 10-game hitting streak. Royals win 9-2. We go back to the phone calls and we talk with Russell in KCK. Russell, you're on the postgame show. Go ahead.
Yeah, I was wondering what you thought about them nine straight hits. And did that go back to 1980? And didn't we make the World Series that year?
You did. Thanks for the phone call. Yes, the Royals made the World Series back in 1980. I will. I know Steve Stewart mentioned this, so I'm kicking myself for not writing it down. I'll look it up. I'll give you the exact date. I know Stu said it was at Old Comiskey in Chicago. I don't remember the year, though. Sorry about that. I'll pull that up during a commercial break. I'll flip through the media guide for you. Yeah, 9 straight hits matches a franchise record. Royals pump out 14 base hits tonight, just 2 days after matching their season high with 16 hits in the finale in Chicago against the White Sox. Royals win 9-2. And now hand the ball to Michael Lorenzen. He makes his Royals debut tomorrow afternoon, 5:35 for the first pitch. I'll be on the air with the On Deck Show beginning at 4:30. Let's go to Tom in Kansas City. Tom, you're next up on the postgame show. What's going on, buddy?
Yeah, man, great win, man. I tell you, Detroit has had our number for so many years. It's great to see us now officially with a definite split with them right now, possibly taking the series and even maybe a sweep next couple of days. You know, these last few games haven't been much of an issue. We've scored a lot of runs. With all these new arms in our bullpen, my question to you is kind of like, how do you see them being used? You know, in the past, we've kind of relied on Zerpa and Stratton and then MacArthur, like we did kind of tonight, and they did a great job shutting down. How do you see these new arms being implemented, especially in close games, like a 1-2 run game?
Right. I got you. Thanks for the phone call, Tom. Yeah, the way that they were deployed tonight tells you something. You know, you bring in Lucas Ersig with maybe the game on the line right there. It's a one-run game, two on, two out. And, you know, next to Colt Keith, I would say the most dangerous bat in this Detroit lineup is Wenzel Perez. So Q went to his, a guy that I believe is the high-leverage guy. J.J. Piccolo earlier today referenced Ersig as this team's closer. So if you want to call him the closer, go for it. The GM is. Personally, I like to just rank them by leverage. You know, the game on the line, who do I want on the mound? As far as the relievers, Lucas Ersig. Number two. Well, I'll give you my opinion in a moment. Here's how I think the Royals view it. Ersig, number one. Hunter Harvey, number two. As far as right-handers are concerned, James MacArthur, number three. But I think Angel Zerpa, I think Sam Long, and maybe Chris Bubich occupy spots 3, 4, 5, and MacArthur's down in the sixth spot. Does that make sense? So Ersig is your highest of leverage guys, followed by Harvey, followed by Zerpa, Long, Bubich, and then James MacArthur. That's how I think they would be deployed if everything went exactly how the coaching staff wants. The biggest moment of the game has Ersig on the mound, and so on down the line. Ninth inning Ersig, eighth inning Harvey, and then the seventh inning, mix and match. Honestly, most of the game you're mixing and matching. That's just the way baseball is. For as much as we all enjoyed Herrera in the seventh, Davis in the eighth, and Holland in the ninth, even in 14 and 15, some would snicker at that. That Ned would never play the matchups. Ned would never ride leverage. This inning belonged to that guy. This inning belonged to that guy. I'm not saying that that's the case with this team. Certainly not in the sixth or the seventh inning. No, that's going to be matchup-based. If it's a lefty, you can go Zerpa. Shoot, Will Smith's been pitching his tail off for about 2.5 months now. So I got to put him in the conversation, but still, even him. You know, I put him and Stratton 7-8, respectively. Now, they both do a lot inside the clubhouse, but game on the line, yeah, those are my last two options. Yeah, Ersig comes in tonight in the biggest of spots. the bottom of the sixth inning, and then the game becomes a laugher, right? Top of the seventh, Royals put six on the board, and then you're just getting guys work, trying to build up confidence. Zerpa coming in for that seventh inning. That's him just getting work. We haven't seen Angel Zerpa since Monday. Chris Stratton getting the eighth inning, to me, was, hey, it's a blowout. Let's get Stratton in there, even though he, too, hadn't pitched since Monday. And then James MacArthur comes in, and you're still trying to build that young man's confidence. He hasn't pitched since Monday. So, yeah. I don't think that Zerpa, Stratton, or MacArthur had to do with leverage or belief from the coaching staff, more so getting work in and a great opportunity to maybe bolster the confidence of a young MacArthur and a veteran in Chris Stratton. Thanks a lot for the phone call. Appreciate it, Tom. Let's go to Jake in Kansas City. Jake, you're next up on 610 Sports Radio. Go ahead.
Hey, Vern. Man, I don't have any complaints right now, or I'm satisfied. I'm content as a fan. I just want to say something that I never thought I'd have a chance to call you and say, that we have the best player in football and the best player in baseball in Kansas City right now. And I'm not pointing out anything that nobody doesn't already know, but
it's,
I just
fun
wanted
to say,
to be able to say it.
Yes, indeed. I'm with you, man. I like saying it too.
Right, Vern,
I appreciate it, Jake. Take it easy, man. Hey, don't get caught up with everybody screaming all the top 100 players in the NFL. The guys didn't name Patrick Mahomes number one. That list has always been stupid. Players don't even really care about it. They're not even really filling it out. Don't add to the fake hysteria. We do this every year. You're better than that. Let's hope that sports radio is better than that tomorrow. I don't think it will be, but let's hope that it is. Yes, Patrick Mahomes is the best player on the planet, and aesthetically, talent-wise, the greatest quarterback this game has ever seen. And Bobby Witt Jr., no doubt about it, you know, tonight he played in his 111th game of the season. That's the most in baseball. His .348 batting average is the best in baseball. He has 154 base hits after that one-out single in the seventh inning. Nobody in the sport has more hits. Bobby's on pace for 225 hits this season. That would be five shy of the franchise single-season record. Bobby's OPS fell to .996. That's fourth best in baseball. He scored another run. He's got 94 runs scored. That's the most in baseball. And Bobby is on pace to score more runs this season than any Royal has in any season in history. Bobby also tonight ripped his 25th base of the season, so he's now a 20-25 guy. Bobby Witt Jr. turned 24 about a month and a half ago, my friends. Unbelievable. And yes, he ain't going anywhere. Patrick Mahomes isn't going anywhere. Bobby's gone 20-25 in each of his first three big league seasons. There's been nobody in the history of the sport other than Bobby Witt Jr. that can say that. How about it? 913-586-7610. We head out to Los Angeles. Nice to hear from Kathy again. Kathy, how are you?
I'm doing pretty good. One of the cardiologists I work with is a big Tigers fan, and we were texting back and forth, and he texted me. He's like, you know, it was 2-1 when I got a phone call and I came back, and he's like, what the heck happened? I'm like, the Royals happened. It was the Royals. That's all you need to know.
Yeah. Now, you're right about that, but that's classic Royals, right? I mean, not only this Royals team, but that's 2014, 2015, that's the 70s, That's a good baseball team, a relentless baseball team.
Exactly. And even though he's pitching for San Francisco this year, I'm kind of rooting for Snell to get a no-hitter, but we'll see.
Yeah, you want to
kind of going back and forth on that one.
I'm rooting for the Giants to waive Blake Snell and the Royals to claim him on waivers. That's what I'm rooting for.
You and me both, dude.
Well, Kathy, nice to hear from you. Enjoy the rest of your night. Royals win 9-2. They had four different hitters pulling off multi-hit nights. Garrett Hampson, Freddie Fermin, Hunter Renfroe, and Salvador Perez had a three-hit night. Salvi homered, singled, and doubled. And like a previous caller said, Salvi comes to the dish a triple shy of the cycle, and he rockets one to the opposite field in that fifth and final plate appearance. One heck of a catch by the Tigers' right fielder. If he doesn't make that catch, that ball would have bounced around for a while. I don't think Salvi would have made it to third, but like you said, caller, no doubt about it, Salvi would have been gunning for three. Salvi's home run, by the way, home run number 266 in his Hall of Fame career, puts him 51 shy of George Brett's franchise record and only nine back of Jorge Posada for the ninth most homers by a catcher in baseball history. Let's go to Big Pete in Kansas City. Big Pete, you're next up on 610 Sports Radio. What's going on, buddy?
Josh, my buddy. Hey.
Yes, sir.
Want to highlight one thing that was pretty cool I noticed last night. Morgan Wallen, largest country singer in the world right now, playing in Kansas City at Arrowhead. You think he's going to wear a Mahomes jersey? He's rolling out with a Royals jersey. So that, to me, is a cultural
moment.
Was
it a player jersey or just a generic?
It was Bobby.
It's cool,
I
regardless.
I believe it was Bobby. But,
fresh. Love it.
Yeah, I mean, whatever you think about Morgan Wallen, he's wearing a Royals jersey at Arrowhead instead of a Mahomes jersey like everybody else is. Very cool. That, to me, was like a cultural moment. Like, all right, we're back. Let's do this. But, hey, always appreciate your insights. I'm looking way, way ahead. Is there anything in the farm system that looks interesting come September that gives us some extra juice to make the run? I know Jack's too young, but I'm dreaming about Jack and Bobby in October already, but I know that's a couple years away.
Yeah. Just as you were saying that, I can already imagine the Cody Tapp parody song of Jack and Diane entitled Jack and Bobby. No. Thanks for the phone call. There's nobody down there right now in Omaha that I think is going to contribute to this team outside of guys that you've already seen. Right, in September, the roster expands by two. The Royals can add another arm and another bat. I would think that arm is going to be Alec Marsh, right? You would hope that Alec Marsh is going to be able to help this team down the stretch. And as far as the bats, you know, we'll see. You know, what do they need? Do they need speed? Do they need on base? Do they need some pop? There are options down there, but no one that I believe is going to come here and steal time from any of the guys that are currently earning time. Jack Caglione, though, yesterday out in Surprise, Arizona, 2-for-3, taking on the White Sox. The top pick out of Florida, 2-for-3 with a double in his first competitive action out there in Surprise. Pete, nice to hear from you. 913-586-7610 is our phone number. If you're on hold, stay right there. We got to take a quick timeout, but we're back with more after this.
You're listening to Burns Post Game Show on your home for Royals baseball, 610 Sports Radio, and the Odyssey app. Welcome back to Vern's Post Game Show on your home for Royals baseball in Kansas City, 610 Sports Radio and the Odyssey app.
Vinny Pascantino, first pitch swinging, pokes one to left field, that's on through. One run will score, two Royals score. Garcia, come on down. It's a two RBI single for Vinny Pascantino, and Kansas City has opened up a 5-2 lead.
Brian Haney on the call, as heard here on 610 Sports Radio. That was just the beginning. Well, not the very beginning, but that was the middle of a historic run for the Royals. Nine straight hits, six runs, and a one-run nail-biter turns into a laugher. Royals take game two in Motown. Final score, Royals 9, Tigers 2. Phone lines are open for you, 913-586-7610. Caller asked earlier, when was the last time the Royals had nine straight hits? The first time it happened, the record-setting moment, was May 7th of 1980. Yeah, in Chicago, the Royals in the fourth inning collected 9 straight hits, 7 singles, and a pair of doubles. Tonight, the Royals, 9 straight hits, 8 singles, and 1 double. That double coming from Salvador Perez. But what you just heard there, Vinny Pasquantino driving in a pair. Vinny now has driven in 11 runs in his last 4 games. Pasquantino has 32 RBIs in his last 32 games. For the season, he has 78 runs driven in. That's tied with Bobby Witt Jr. not only for the team lead, but he's tied with Bobby Witt Jr. for 4th most in Major League Baseball. Now, that's something that if you would have told me at the beginning of the season, I would say, Vinny and Bobby are top 5 in Major League Baseball in RBIs, then the Royals are probably in the chase. Because coming into the year, the question was, would the surrounding pieces around Bobby, Salvi, and Vinny, those were the three you felt the most... Those were the three I felt the most confident in coming into the season, along with Freddie, Michael, guys that passed the evaluation season of 2023. It was really those 5. I had questions about Massey and MJ and Renfro and Isbell and the rest. But the only way Vinny and Bobby are going to be able to be top 5 in baseball in RBI is if those surrounding pieces are on base, in scoring position, ready to be driven in. Bobby and Vinny, 4th most RBI in baseball. Salvador Perez, 10th in baseball. Yeah, Royals are obviously the only team in the sport with 3 of the top 10 run producers. That's impressive. Well, speaking of Salvador Perez, after the game, he was the target of Heidi Watney and Apple TV's post-game interview.
Yeah, I grabbed Salvador Perez. He said, "You want to talk to me? Of course we want to talk to you. You were all over this game." All right, that last at-bat, when you flew out to right field, did you think you had the triple?
100%. If he dropped that ball, I was going to go straight to third base to see if I can make it there.
We got to see your speed tonight. You scored from first. You had the hustle double. Is Bobby wearing off on you?
Junior, the best player in the league right here. He teach me how to run the base. I just try to help my team to win, and we're going to do anything I can do just to help my team to win.
Well, in that vein, helping your team to win, you're playing first base, but you're still calling mound visits. Take me through when you go to the mound. What happens there?
Hey, just talk to Carlos. Close game like that, just be careful, okay? Don't throw nothing in the middle. It's always better to start 0-0 and 3-1 or 3-0. So that's what I tell him in that situation.
How much fun are you having mentoring for me?
Oh, a lot. Pretty good kid. He likes to play hard. He likes to compete. He prepares himself every day to be behind the home plate, too.
All right, first pitch of the second inning. You send it into the stands. What, 448 feet off of Tarek Skubal, one of the best pitchers in the game. Take me through that at bat.
I feel hot. Hey, he's one of the best lefties in the game. I think he just tried to get ahead of the count. He did a slider right in the middle, and I hit it pretty good.
That was your 8th season of 20 or more home runs. How do you stay so consistent in normally playing catcher, a position that's so demanding?
It's a lot of sacrifice, work and my body in the offseason, and try to stay longer as I can and be in this game for a long time.
You guys had 9 straight hits as a team, not a single out, the entire lineup. What does that say about this group?
Pretty good. Junior, I don't know about that. Junior told me in that inning, like, hey, look the scoreboard. So I saw basically on nice hits. So it's pretty good.
All right, you've been on a World Series championship team. Where do you think this group stacks up?
If you don't think that we're going to make it to the playoff, we're in the wrong team. It's not about to make it to the playoff. It's to win everything. And hopefully we can see ourselves in the World Series this year.
There you go. Salvador Perez following a 3-for-5 performance. He scores 3 runs. And the Royals get to 13 games above 500. Phone lines are open. 913-586-7610. We go to Dan in KCK. Dan, how you doing, buddy?
I'm doing great, Josh. Yeah, I saw part of the game on MLB TV because I don't have that app on, so I'll be glad when it comes to back on Fox. It was a great night, you know. Yeah, right, I had one mistake to Malloy, but pitched really great, and the offense doing its thing. You said it's a business trip. I call it a big business trip, but so far, so good. Let's make it a clean sweep of the Tigers. Last time we swept a four-game series was 1984. Josh, take care of yourself.
Is that right? You mean in Detroit? Or altogether, I swear they've swept a four-game series. You must mean in Detroit. Yeah, that a four-game sweep on the road, that is a tall task, let alone a division foe. Dan, nice to hear from you. Speaking of a tall task, how about the fact that tonight was the 30th come-from-behind victory of the season for the Royals? That's more than a quarter of their games. They find themselves down and battle back. Royals trailed 2-0 after the first. Salvi cut that deficit in half with that home run in the second inning. Royals have now homered in 8 straight games. That's the longest stretch of the season. Let's go to JD in Chanute. You're next up on 610 Sports Radio. What's going on, JD?
Oh, I'm proud of my boys in blue. And they may wind up winning close to 100 games if they keep that up.
Ooh.
Don't you think? I mean, what was you predicting, 87 wins or something?
They're on pace right now for 90.
Well, yeah. They're just doing fantastic.
Yeah. No, I'm with you, no doubt. JD, nice to hear from you, man. I'm glad you're having a good time. You should be.
Well, just that, have you ever, like, been at home and things kind of fall to the floor? You just kind of wonder what's going on. I mean, a couple of things dropped on my floor, so I don't know. There's no wind in here other than what I produce. So,
well, maybe it's you're up celebrating after a Salvi smash or a Bobby infield knock. Maybe you're knocking stuff over. You can't even control yourself.
Oh, God bless you all. You have a great evening, and hooray to the boys in blue.
Yeah, well said. Nice to hear from you, JD. Bobby Witt Jr., by the way, did pick up a knock. I mentioned his infield hit, a 105-mile-per-hour rocket to the 5.5 hole. Javi Baez made the pick, but just put the ball in his pocket. You're not getting Bobby Witt Jr. New career high for Bob, 15-game hitting streak. Across that hitting streak, he has a batting average of .508. 15 RBIs in those 15 games, 19 runs scored in those 15 games. Oh, boy. Let's go to the text line, 913-586-7610. Rally Mantis, thanks, man. Give it some love to Cole Reagans. Now, this is on me. Rally Mantis, I appreciate you mentioned it. Inexcusable to be this deep into the postgame show and not love on Cole Reagans. Well, I guess I mentioned his composure. Composure that this rotation has reflected really all season. Unfortunately, I took it for granted tonight. Because I was never sweating Cole Reagans. I'll tell you that right now. He picks up his 8th win of the season. And after that first inning 2-run blast, again, he did not serve up another extra base hit for the rest of the night. Reagans goes 5 2/3 innings, gives up 2 runs on 2 hits. His ERA is now 3.36. That's top 25 in baseball. The Royals' rotation has an ERA of 3.52. That's top 3 in baseball. A few more from the text line. Gabe at Independence is curious of what's going on with Drew Waters, Nelson Velasquez, and Nick Prado. Yeah, it's been a while since Nick Prado's name has been mentioned on this show. Well, Drew Waters went 0-for-4 tonight, scored a run. Nelson Velasquez went 1-for-4 tonight. Nelly has an OPS down in Omaha, 760. I would guess that's right about league average in the independent league. Drew Waters' OPS up at 850. He was in center field tonight. No Nick Prado in the lineup. Now, what's going on with them? They now play for a good organization, so a good organization doesn't have room for everyone. Right? A good big league club, a good organization should have a few debatable pieces in Omaha. And when I say debatable, I mean we could have a debate. Are they big leaguers? Are they 4A guys? Right? Are they too good for AAA but not quite good enough to be a key contributor on a good team in the show? Well, Velasquez, Prado, and Waters right now are in that purgatory. That's what I would say. I don't see how Prado contributes. I don't see where he fits in. Certainly not this year. And with Jack Caglione coming down the pike, I don't see where he fits in moving forward. Now, Nelson Velasquez, man, if you can run into homers at the clip we've seen him run into homers at the big league level, I'm going to stick with that for a while. And one injury to a Paul DeJong, and all of a sudden, man, the pop of Nelson Velasquez is very much needed at the big league level. So, honestly, to me, he's probably the closest to returning. Drew Waters, that would take, to me, an injury to Kyle Isbell to get Drew Waters back to the big leagues. Appreciate it. Thanks for listening, Gabe. Way to stay locked in down in the minor leagues. Andy in Westport's out there listening. He's just laughing at the fact that the Royals have the third best run differential in all of Major League Baseball. Yeah, man, it's wild, isn't it? Royals are 52-17 this season when they score four or more runs. Wow. Matt in Arizona, impressive business trip so far, Vern. Crazy seventh inning. Would have been a good night to have a nine-leg parlay with a hit for each guy in the lineup. Yeah, I think the largest parlay I've ever hit, it was 2018 or 19. That was very early in the sports gambling days. As it normally goes, right? You know, the beginner's luck. You hit a parlay early on and then you chase it for the rest of your life. Yeah, I'd advise against nine-leg parlays. They sound fun with the benefit of hindsight, but when you're sweating it and you're immediately in the hole once the game starts, it's just not worth it. As someone that enjoys gambling, enjoys that, you know, those knots in your stomach, nine legs is a little bit too much for me. Scott in Phoenix is listening. He writes in, Vern, we need more business trips like this one. Cole Reagans was on point again. Vinny's on his way to 100 RBI. And if Salvi can keep this up, Cooperstown will be calling. Signed, Scott in Phoenix. Well said. Cole Reagans tonight struck out six. He now has the fourth most strikeouts in Major League Baseball and the second most strikeouts in Royals history through 23 starts. He's eight off of the pace that Zach Greinke set back in 2009. Reagan's record is now 8-7, so he has a winning record. But the Royals actually have a losing record with him on the hill. They're 11-12, even following tonight's 9-2 victory. Few more from the text line. Raj of the Ozarks is not buying the fact that Tarek Skubal is a Cy Young candidate. Or maybe not the, I'm sure you buy that he's a candidate. Maybe you don't believe that he's the front runner. Honestly, I wouldn't have taken him out of the game. I understand Bobby was coming to the dish and Bobby hit him hard his last time up. Skubal was at 95 pitches. Now, I guess I can't sit here and pretend like I've been following Tarek Skubal start by start, but not too far removed from the All-Star break. He only threw an inning in the All-Star game. I wanted to see Bobby and Tarek one more time. I certainly had no fear of Shelby Miller coming out of the bullpen. I like Bobby's chances a lot more when they pulled Tarek Skubal. But Raj just taking a look at the latest odds. Tarek Skubal still the favorite, not as big of a favorite as he was before the game. According to FanDuel, Tarek Skubal right now minus 125 to win the American League Cy Young. Tonight did wonders for Corbin Burnes. He's now right on the heels of Skubal. Corbin Burnes plus 105, second shortest odds. Seth Lugo then a distant third. Seth Lugo 10-1 to win the American League Cy Young Award. We have anything else from the text line? Yeah, Paul in North Florida says, Vern, only a few days in with having Lucas Ursig on the team, you think he's worthy of buying a jersey? Well, I'll tell you this, Paul. His story is certainly worthy of support. You know, his battles with depression and alcohol, to come out the other side of that, if you've ever experienced that with friends or family, you understand the difficulty of addiction. So, I would say you could support Ursig, certainly. But especially if you're a North Florida man, rock Bobby Witt Jr. Rep Bobby Witt Jr. Let's get this dude coast to coast. Well, he's doing it himself, but we can help out a little bit. Ken from Leavenworth. Let's round things out with Ken. Ken says, Vern, the seventh inning was the perfect example of how the Royals have always been and should always be. Just swing for the hits and let the home runs take care of themselves. Yeah, you know what you're talking about, Ken? You're talking about the George Brett line, the Charlie Lau line. Don't try to hit the ball over the fence. Try to hit the ball through the fence. That's what George was doing. That's what Charlie Lau told him to do. And yeah, that put the ball in play. Keep the line moving. Those things that we used to scream in 2014 and 2015, they were certainly on display today. Really, they were on display throughout the game. You look at the fourth inning. When the Royals scored two runs to take the lead, the key was putting the ball in play. Royals had a tie game. Hunter Renfroe on third with Garrett Hampson on the dish. Garrett Hampson at the dish. 2-2, top four, one out. Hunter Renfroe on third. Got to put the ball in play. Well, you can do anything but strike out Garrett Hampson. Hampson falls behind to the count 1-2, battles back and draws a 7-pitch walk. Runners on the corners with one out. Paul DeJong comes to the dish. The only thing you're not allowed to do, Paul, is strike out. What does he do? Puts the ball in play, sacrifice fly, Royals take the lead, and Paul DeJong comes through with what turns out to be the game-winning hit. Ken, thank you very much for listening. Hope you're listening tomorrow when Michael Lorenzen takes the hill in Game 3 of this four-game series in Detroit. Yeah, that's right, the veteran right-hander makes his Royals debut tomorrow. It's scheduled for a 5:35 first pitch. I mean, I think it might be listed at 5:10, but they're retiring Jim Leland's number 10 tomorrow. Deservedly so, the Hall of Famer gets his day in the Motown sun. But that's going to delay things. So I'll be on the air tomorrow at 4:30 with the On Deck Show. Thanks to James Howell for all the great work back at the studio. Thanks to you for listening. Enjoy the rest of your Friday night, Kansas City. I'll talk to you tomorrow. Take care.
You've been listening to Vern's postgame show.
A blast down the right field line. Hooking, stay fair, and gone. Past Quintino.
Check out the All Things Vern channel on 610sports.com and the Odyssey app to stay up to date with your boys in blue.
Deep left center, way back and gone. Another grand slam for Bobby Witt Jr.
On your home of the Royals, 610 Sports Radio. We now take you back to regularly scheduled programming.